The scripture reading this evening is Luke chapter 3, the verses 33 to 38, page 1092 to 1093. It is the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ from the perspective of Luke. Now, Luke's gospel was written to his friend whose name was Theophilus. He says that in the first chapter of Luke, that his friend Theophilus was a Greek person who Luke wanted to inform about the whole story of Jesus Christ. And so he writes the book of Luke to a Gentile, a Greek person whose name was Theophilus. And in the genealogy of Jesus, he traces Jesus' ancestry back to Adam, because Adam is the father of the whole human race. Now, Matthew also gives a genealogy of Jesus, but Matthew's gospel was not written particularly to the Gentiles, but to the Jews, to God's historic people, the Jews, the Israelites. And there are many, many quotations from the Old Testament in Matthew, and Matthew gives a genealogy of Jesus too, and gives his ancestry. But Matthew traces his ancestry back to Abraham, who is the father of the Jewish people. And so Abraham's the genealogy of Jesus is traced to Abraham in Matthew. In Luke, which is written to the Gentiles, it is traced back to Adam, because Adam is the father of everyone. All human beings trace their ancestry to Adam. And so Jesus' ancestry also in the book of Luke is traced back to Adam, so that Theophilus and all the non-Jews would be able to identify with Jesus that he came for them too. This evening, I'm going to look at the genealogy of Jesus from the perspective of Adam, that he was the son of Adam, but more than that, he was Adam's Lord. He was the son and Lord of Adam. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 14, which we will be looking at tonight and next Sunday night and the next Sunday night, because next Sunday we're going to see that Jesus is the son and Lord of Abraham, and the next Sunday that Jesus is the son and Lord of David. But tonight we're going to see that Jesus is the son and the Lord of Adam. And we find that here in Luke chapter 3, which is the genealogy of Jesus. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janai, the son of Joseph, the son of Matthias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Matthias, the son of Simon, the son of Joseph, the son of Judah, the son of Joan, the son of Rehash, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Nati, the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Matat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Joram, the son of Eliakim, the son of Melchiah, the son of Minna, the son of Matthiah, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salah, the son of Nashon, the son of Abinadab, the son of Admin, the son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelal, the son of Cainan, the son of Arpadzad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Cainan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. That is the genealogy of Jesus from Luke's perspective, going back to Adam, the son of God. Now in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 14, we read this question and its answer, then the second question also. What is the meaning of conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary? And the answer is that the eternal Son of God, who is and remains true and eternal God, took upon himself our true manhood from the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary through the action of the Holy Spirit, so that he might also be the true seed of David, like his fellow men in all things except for sin. What benefit do you receive from the holy conception and birth of Christ? The answer is that he is our mediator, and that in God's sight he covers over with his innocence and perfect holiness the sinfulness in which I have been conceived. So far, the reading of the Word of God and also the teaching of the Scriptures based upon that Word. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, how wonderful it is to know that the eternal God became man and remained the true and eternal God. All of His words, His works, while He was walking here upon earth, point to the fact that He is true man and true and eternal God at the same time. Heavenly Father, it is a mystery. It is beyond our total and complete comprehension, but we believe it. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is true and eternal God and real righteous man. We have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Bless us as we look at this, that He is the Son and Lord of Adam tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is the Son and Lord of Adam. He's like unto us in all things. One day, when our youngest son was a boy of about 8 or 9 years old, our family went to a restaurant in Oakland, California, which was located in the Jack London Square. Probably some of you heard of Jack London, the author of Call of the Wild. He was from Oakland. And there's Jack London Square, and there's a very nice restaurant there. We were there. And so as we were waiting for our food, my youngest son said to me, "Dad, Jesus is here." I said, "Where do you see him?" So he pointed to a man who was sitting there, a very good-looking man with a very well-shaped beard and deep-set eyes, very handsome, and somewhat dark-complected. And our Jonathan said, "That's Jesus." I said, "You know, Johnny, that's not Jesus. Jesus was here, and he was like us in every way except sin. But he's not here anymore. He's in heaven at the right hand of God." Well, that's true. Jesus was here. Someone asked me, when Jesus came, did he continue being God, or did he take a vacation from being God? And he took a vacation for 3 years, and then he went up to heaven again and became God again. No. No, that's not what happened. When Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, there is a baby in Bethlehem. In that little body, you have eternal God. He is God with man. Remember how Isaiah said this in Isaiah 7, verse 14. A child shall be born, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus Christ is true and eternal God and remains true and eternal God always, always. But he took upon himself a human nature of the Virgin Mary being conceived by the Holy Spirit. He is and ever remains the true and eternal God. He was not always man. His human nature had a beginning. His human nature is not eternal in the sense it's from everlasting to everlasting. No, his human nature had a beginning. He was like us in everything except sin. But one of the things that he's like us in is that his human nature had a point of beginning. He was born. He was born. And before he was born, his human nature did not exist. His human nature had a beginning. His divine nature is from eternity to eternity. That's why Hebrews 13 verse 8 could say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always he is the eternal God. But his human nature had a beginning. He's like us in everything except sin. And we had a beginning. We had a beginning. We are not infinite. That is, without beginning and without end. No, no. We have a beginning. Everybody has a beginning. So he's like us in everything except sin. So he had, his human nature had a beginning. But it doesn't have an end. Just like we don't have an end either. And that's an awesome thought. There are some people who wish they did. I remember one time I talked to a man whose son was involved in a very, very serious accident with a girl of our church in Holland, Michigan. And he was the dad. He was an immigrant from the Netherlands, and I thought for sure that he would have some understanding of the need of prayer for this girl, and that he'd have a sense that heaven is waiting for those who believe in Jesus. But you know, he didn't. He said, if prayer is going to help her, that's a good thing. But he said, do you know what I believe? He said to me. I said, well, what do you believe? He said, I believe we're like a leaf of the tree. We come, we flourish for a while, and then we die, and we go back to the earth. There is nothing beyond. Nothing. That's a horrible way to live. But there are people who actually do believe that. That there's nothing beyond this life. This life is all there is. But no, our human nature had a beginning, but it has no end. So we're going to look at Jesus this evening, that Jesus Christ is the Son and the Lord of Adam. The Son and the Lord of Adam. Isaiah anticipates that when he says in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a son is given. The Son is given. He had existence before he was born. The Son. In the beginning was the Word, says John, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus, his sonship, never had a beginning and never had an end. So Isaiah says, for unto us a son is given, and unto us a child is born. He had a beginning. His earthly life, his human nature had a beginning. And that human nature is like us in everything except sin, and he is a son of Adam. But he's more than that. He's the Lord of Adam. We all know about Adam. Adam and Eve were created by God. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And God breathed into this clay. He made Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. That was man's beginning. That was our beginning. That's why the Lord says, dust thou art, unto dust thou shalt return. We began with dust. Our human nature did. And to dust we shall return. That was so for Adam. But he was made perfect. He was made without sin. Adam was a beautiful person, a beautiful creature. In God's likeness, in God's image. The only person that was like Adam at the beginning was Jesus in his human nature. He was perfect too. Adam was perfect. But you know the terrible, terrible story of Genesis 3. How that the devil came into the garden in the form of a serpent and tempted Eve, saying, did God say you couldn't eat of any of these trees? No, 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 says Eve. He said, we may eat of all of them except the one in the middle of the garden. You may not eat of it or touch it, lest you die. And Satan said, you will not die. God knows that if you eat of that tree, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And you'll have your eyes open and you'll have wisdom. So she saw that the tree had good fruit. And according to Satan, it would make her wise. So she took of that fruit and ate and gave to her husband, and they both ate. And behold, they saw they were naked. There was a rupture in the relationship between their maker and them. And they hid from God. They were afraid of God. Prior to sin, they walked and talked with God. And God came to them as a friend with friend. And they were companions with each other and with God. It was a wonderful, wonderful relationship between Adam and Eve and the Creator God. He walked with them in the cool of the day. But when sin came, Adam and Eve hid themselves. They were afraid of God because they knew that they had sinned, and they broke that relationship between themselves and their Maker. What a terrible thing it was. That was the beginning of evil. Well, actually, the beginning of evil was even before that, when Satan fell. But the beginning of evil in the human race was with the fall and disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve. So we are children of Adam and Eve. Every child born of Adam's line after that fateful fall into sin, every child, God says to them, who's your father? Well, Adam's our father. God says, no, I'm sorry. The curse is on you too. Paul, the apostle Paul, in Romans 5 said, as in Adam's fall, we all sin. Sin came in through the fall and disobedience of Adam, and so sin passed to everyone, for all have sinned. It's a terrible thing. There was a controversy in the early church in the days of St. Augustine, and the controversy was sparked by the teaching of a man whose name was Pelagius. And Pelagius taught that everyone born is born with a clean slate. A clean slate. And sin and evil is only by influence from our environment and influence from others. That's where sin comes. It doesn't come from here inside. Inside man is basically good. And St. Augustine came along, and St. Augustine said, no, 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 that's not true. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? David said in Psalm 51:5, in sin did my mother conceive me. I was born and conceived in sin. Paul says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No, Pelagius, you're wrong. But Pelagius' heresy has infected the human race. It came into the education system through a man whose name was Rousseau, a French philosopher and a French education man. And it was picked up in the United States by John Dewey. And they taught that man is basically good. He's basically good. And that evil comes from our environment. And it came into American politics in many ways. One of the ways was President Johnson's Great Society. Basically, President Johnson said, if we have a good environment, good education, good health care, good housing, we will produce good people. You know what? It didn't work. Why? Because sin is in the heart of man. Jeremiah's words in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart of man is exceedingly sinful. Who can know it? We are born into sin. Sin is part and parcel of what it means to be human right now. The McGuffey reader of the New England education system way back when had the alphabet with verses from the Bible or with teachings from the Bible, and A was A. All have sinned in Adam. In Adam's fall, we sin all. That was the McGuffey reader for A. In Adam's sin, we sin all. So, everyone born of Adam had this above their cradle, born in sin, conceived and born in sin. So Adam's race, Adam's children, didn't have a solution. God anticipated a solution, though. When God said in Genesis 3, verse 15, and he said it to the serpent, he said it to Satan, I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, between your seed and her seed. You will bruise his heel, but he, the seed of the woman, will crush your head. Who is the seed of the woman? Who is that person who is going to crush the head of the serpent? It is no one other than our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3, verse 8 says it so beautifully. The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. So in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us who are under the law. Adam's race could not solve the problem. Could not solve the problem because everyone that was born of Adam's race was born and conceived in sin. Everyone. No exceptions. Until the angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And you will conceive in your womb a child, a son. You shall call his name Jesus." He is the one who broke that chain that came from Adam's race that led nowhere. It was the route that had no ending. It had no good ending. It ended in utter frustration. The seed of Adam ended in death. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All, everyone, until God made a new entrance into the human race through the body and blood of the Virgin Mary. And a child was born of Adam's race through the Virgin Mary. So he is the son of Adam, but he is the Lord of Adam. Because he is not born in the sin of Adam. He is Adam's son and Adam's Lord. There's a new beginning in Jesus Christ. A new beginning in the Son of God who became man. A new beginning. And it is a wonder of God's grace. That's why Paul could say in 1 Timothy 3:15, "Great indeed is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh." So Jesus was born of Adam's race, but he was Adam's Lord. He did not have Adam's sin. Adam's race received a son, but did not conceive a son. He received one, but didn't conceive one. He was not begotten of Adam's loins. He did not have Adam's sin. He was pure, undefiled, spotless, separated from sinners. He is the pure and perfect Son of God and Son of Man. The two natures of Christ, divine and human, in the Council of Chalcedon, 451 AD, the early church got together to discuss and to decide what is the relationship between Christ's divine nature and his human nature. We know that he is divine and that he is human. And the Council of Chalcedon said those two natures of Christ, they are without mixture, they are without division, they're without change, and they're without separation. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Son of Man. Those two natures are not mixed, they're not divided, they're not changed, and they're not separated. Those four words the early church put together. And do you know that throughout the history of the Christian church, it has never improved on that? That's who Jesus Christ is. He did not come on vacation and lay aside his deity while he was here on earth. No, he remained true and eternal God. How else could he raise the dead? How else could he heal the sick? How else could he open the eyes of the blind? How else could he walk on water? He is God and man in one person. One person, two natures. And the person is the second person of the Holy Trinity. Two natures, human and divine. Now there are some wonderful implications about this. One is this. Because Jesus is the true Son of Adam and Adam's Lord, you and I have a new beginning in Christ by faith. When we are converted and trust in Jesus as our Savior, we have a new there's a new creation. Paul says that. You are a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And what the Lord says to us, he said to Adam, of all the trees of the field you may freely eat. There is a freedom for the child of God. That's why Paul says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. We've got to have discernment. But all things are lawful, and I will not be brought under the dominion of anything. All things are lawful, but I will not be a stumbling block to any. But all things are lawful. You and I have freedom. The freedom that Adam and Eve had before sin fell, before they fell into sin. But not only is that true, because we are children of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was a son and the Lord of Adam, all people are important. All people are important. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. People are important because Christ has come and he restored Adam's race. So people are important. Even the unborn are important. They're human beings from the moment of conception. And their life is not to be snuffed out. Another implication. Adam's children hated each other. Cain killed Abel. And do you know that Adam's children are still fighting each other? They're still killing each other. All you have to do is look at the paper or watch the news and you read about terrorism. You read about white versus black or black versus white. And you read about evil all around. Adam's children are still hating each other. But Jesus is the son of Adam, but the Lord of Adam. And Jesus makes a new infusion into the human race so that those who follow Jesus love each other. Love each other. What a wonderful thing is this. If you love me, keep my commandments, and hereby you know that you're a child of God. If you love one another, and the children of Adam, but the children of Jesus, who is the Son and Lord of Adam, they are now the church. And the church is characterized by love, not hate. And in the church of Christ, which encompasses people from every nation, tribe, and language, you have black and yellow, red and white. There they are. And there is a love between them. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Son and the Lord of Adam and infuses into the human race a new beginning, a new heart by faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the Son and Lord of Adam, and you and I are children of Adam too. But by grace, through faith, we are children of Jesus Christ. We have Adam's blood, but we have a new nature by faith in Jesus Christ. You are no longer what you used to be. Is that true for you? You're not what you used to be. There used to be disobedience. Well, we still have to fight against sin, that's for sure. Next Sunday we'll have the Lord's Supper. And as we take the bread and take the cup in faith, believing that the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sin. And as the Heidelberg Catechism says, in a very beautiful way, that He is our mediator and that in God's sight He covers with His innocence and perfect holiness the sinfulness in which I was conceived and born. He covers it. So we're new people in Christ. The old has passed, the new has come. But Jesus is like us in all things except sin. He's the Son of Adam, but He's also the Lord of Adam. What a marvelous truth that is. And so we can sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Rejoice, rejoice. Christ has come. And now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts tonight. Lead us by your Spirit. Forgive all of our sins. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the Son of Adam, but Adam's Lord. That he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, descended into hell, but the third day he rose again. And we have a living, risen Christ Savior. O Lord, bless us this day. Keep us in the hollow of your hand. Lead us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.